Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin. Welcome to another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, thanks for returning to the show. As always, it's terrific to see you. This next question we've got is a communications question, and it reads, how do I write an annual integrity report?
Bill, I love this question. And actually, I was actually just looking up a little bit of the data from our data platform, The Sphere, on exactly this point, because the reason for writing an annual integrity report is because you are trying to increase transparency to your audience, whether that's your employees, to the public, to your third parties, on the things that happen with your program. So if you look at a good integrity report, it's going to cover your data on speak-up rates, on substantiation rates, on average days to close, on discipline, and all of that data. And often on also on your culture surveys, by the way. So a lot of companies will also share culture survey data in their integrity report. And all of that is something that you can use to be able to go back to your employees and say, look, here's how we look into issues that you bring to us. Here's how seriously we take these issues. And here's what happens in the process. It's a way of demystifying the investigations process that goes beyond just showing the flow when you call the hotline. It goes beyond showing the flow that your investigators might take, right? It goes beyond any messaging that you might do to somebody when they actually raise their hand and say they've seen something that goes through the process that you're then going to go through, right? So we look at the investigations process as one of those places where employees get very nervous because they don't really know what to expect. And so you have an opportunity to communicate with an individual person when they raise their hand and tell them what's coming next. And then your integrity report is an opportunity to communicate ahead of time to people who might be thinking about raising their hand about what that's going to look like. So you want to make sure that you've gathered data around all of the pieces that touch that process. So you want to touch on your speak-up rates, your substantiation rates, your days to close, your disciplinary percentages, the kinds of things that you might have done in response to substantiated issues, the kinds of issues that you ended up actually having employees bring together, right? All that data, consolidated, anonymized, all the names have been changed to protect the innocent. The data protects everybody involved. And so you do the consolidated data. And the other thing that the consolidated data is going to do for you is it's going to allow you to navigate your labor and employment lawyers who are going to be nervous about this idea that you have to issue this integrity report. The other thing that will allow you to navigate that is the stat that I'm about to share, which is that 42% of the companies in our data set indicate that they issue these kinds of reports, right? They either issue them internally or they issue them externally, right? It's a summary of their stats, and they do it because it encourages employees to raise their hand. So there's very good reasons to do it. There's not really very good reasons not to do it, except it's work. And the thing you ought to really be doing is pull all of your stats together and figure out what the story is that your numbers tell you and then share that story.
For somebody who's writing their first integrity report, what's something you would recommend to them that this is something that people would like to see? And what's something that they would not like to see?
Yeah, so I think the ones that I have seen work really well, and here I'm thinking more about that internal employee audience, right? I'm thinking about that group that you're writing for where you're trying to address uncertainty or nervousness about the way the investigations process works, where you're trying to address a feeling of a black box. When I come to ethics and compliance with a concern, I have no idea where it goes. So the ones that I have seen work really well are the ones that attempt to answer those questions from beginning to end. This is, here's who we are. This is the team. This is what we do. here's our stats for the year. And then you layer in there the other work the team does. So the good thing, and this is one of the things that I think we can infer from the question that this particular Bella member asked, is they're probably looking to do a report on the whole integrity program. So you can also share your training stats. You can share your comm stats. Maybe you launched a podcast because you listened to, you Bill, talk about how to use podcasting in your compliance communications, right? Talk about your accomplishments. Think of it like your annual financial report, right? Talk about your accomplishments for the year as a way of increasing and restoring if necessary, but usually increasing trust in the function and awareness of the work that it does.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for that answer, and also just in general for lending your insights and understanding to the Bella community and to all these wonderful questions you receive. I know it means a lot to everyone in the ethics economy.
Well, Bill, it's really my pleasure. And for anybody out there who has never seen one of these produced internally, in any of the organizations that you've worked in, and you're wondering what they look like, and you're not a Bella member, because we've got a lot of examples on the Bella Member Hub, but if you're not a Bella member, there are a couple that are externally facing where the company made a decision to just post it publicly so anybody could see it. And the best example of that I have seen, my favorite one is CareFirst, which is the Blue Cross Blue Shield entity for DC, Maryland, and Virginia. Theirs is publicly available. It's a phenomenal example of how to do this well. I highly recommend you check it out.
To learn more about Bella, please visit ethisphere.com/Bella to request guest access to the Member Resource Hub and to speak with the Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on Bella Asks, be sure to use the Bella Concierge service and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.